Is there a place of genuine safety where protection is guaranteed? Is it possible to be protected from the devil and all of his hordes? Is there a place where danger is mitigated and jeopardy is reduced? Considering that Satan has deceived the whole world and has brought down every person that's ever lived with the single exception of Jesus Christ, is there some place that you can be assured of protection, refuge, and security? I'm speaking of a spiritual haven where the heart, soul, mind, and strength can be protected. Is there such a place? Is there some domain, some realm, some arena in which Satan cannot touch you or demons harass you? Is there such a thing as a place where lies cannot deceive and weaknesses cannot prevail? Those are some of the questions I'll address in this message, Jesus, a Sanctuary. My texts are taken from the book of Isaiah, and both of them speak of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first is Isaiah 8, 13 and 14. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The second text is Isaiah 32, 2. And a man shall be for a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock and a weary land. First, let me define the word sanctuary as I'll be using it. The word sanctuary means a holy place or an abode. It's a place of safety and provision or security and assurance. Prior to Jesus, a sanctuary was found first in the tabernacle and later in the temple. Under the law, God commanded Moses to make a sanctuary for God himself. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Exodus 25:8. He then told the people to reverence that sanctuary. Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19:30 and Leviticus 26:2. This was a place where God himself would dwell, not exclusively, but where he would communicate with the approved people, like Moses and the high priest. This sanctuary was called the most holy place, or the holiest. Only the priests were allowed to enter this place. And then it was only one time a year, as outlined in Exodus 30, verse 10. This was not a place for the people, and they were forbidden entrance into it. It was isolated from the remainder of the tabernacle by a thick veil, beyond which even the high priest could not pass except on the annual Day of Atonement. Under the law, God did not provide the people with a sanctuary, but made a place for himself. When Solomon set out to build the temple, which would be a permanent dwelling, as compared with the mobile tabernacle, he knew this was the case. Therefore, time came to build the temple. David said to him, Now, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Rise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, and bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 22:19. However, our text speaks of a sanctuary for the people, a place of safety and protection. No such place existed for the children of Israel. When they were in Egypt, they were oppressed. When they were in the wilderness, they had to fight enemies. Even when they entered Canaan, enemies were in the land. Even in the holy city, Jerusalem, they were subject to deception, attack, and danger. There was no sanctuary provided for the people of God. But now, praise God, now that sin's been put away, the devil destroyed, and principalities and powers plundered, there is a sanctuary for the saints of the Most High God. Hear my text again. Isaiah 8:14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And Isaiah 32, 2. And a man shall be for a hiding place from the wind and for covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock and a weary land. Now let me establish first that the reference to the sanctuary does refer to Jesus Christ. Isaiah's prophecy said, He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. Peter pointedly affirms that this rock of offense, which was also the sanctuary, was actually Jesus Christ. He combines some of the prophecies of Isaiah and makes this statement, Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected and disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word being disobedient. 1 Peter 2, 6-8. Jesus is that rock of offense to his enemies, but he's the sanctuary of safety to those who believe on him. That's why he's precious to them. Now let's look at this blessed sanctuary and behold the benefits brought to the saved through him. David is the first one to speak of the Lord as a safe habitation. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, Psalm 18:2. Again, he said in Psalm 91:2, he's my refuge and my fortress. He said the same thing in Psalm 31:3, 71:3, 91:2, and 144:2. With remarkable insight, David cried out, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort," Psalm 71:3. The 91st Psalm commends the one who trusts in the Lord by saying, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation," Psalm 91:9. Solomon also spoke of the Lord as a place to be inhabited, a place of safety. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is safe," Proverbs 18:10. That sheds light on the statements concerning being in Christ, who himself is the sanctuary, the fortress, and the habitation of God. He himself is a place for safety, a place for protection, and a place for security. But let's look more closely at the prophecy of Isaiah, for he opened up the meaning of the Lord being a sanctuary, the place of safety and security. He was moved by the Spirit to refer to the coming Christ in this way, "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." That man is the man Christ Jesus, the manner in which he's referred to in 1 Timothy 2:5. He's a hiding place from the wind. That is, he provides protection from the winds of strife, the blasts of discouragement, and the tempests of delusion. There are destructive gusts of thought and delusive attraction all around us, attempts of Satan to blow us off course and onto the broad road that leads to destruction. These are powerful gusts like spiritual tornadoes and hurricanes. No man can stand in them without being blown away into desolate and dry places. The only hope of survival is to get into the sanctuary. The man who's been established by God to be a sanctuary and a hiding place. In him, the trusting soul is no longer intimidated by the fierce blasts of the wicked one. In fact, there are moments of spiritual intimacy within the confines of the Lord Jesus when they're not even aware of the raging moral and spiritual storms that are prevailing in the world. In Christ, the sanctuary, there's blessed quietness, confidence, and assurance is realized. This is in fulfillment of the word of Isaiah the prophet. "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength," Isaiah 30, verse 15. "And again, in the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever," Isaiah 32, 17. But our text says that Jesus is also a covert from the tempest. A covert is a cover, shelter, a refuge. While a hiding place emphasizes the fact that this place cannot be found by the enemy, the word covert stresses that it's located in the same place where the danger exists. It's a covering in the battlefield, a refuge in the domain of testing. A covert is a covering that protects. That is, it's fully equal to the strength of the tempest and cannot be moved by the tempest itself. The tempest beats in vain upon the covert, which will outlast the storm and protect those who are in it throughout the duration of the torrent. A tempest is a storm of destructing duration that gets worse and worse. If you're speaking of water, it's like a rising flood. If you're speaking of wind, it's like a hurricane that increases in its force, getting stronger and stronger. If you're speaking of something like a hailstorm, it's like hail that increases in both size and intensity until everything in its path is destroyed. See, listener, there are spiritual tempests that will destroy those who are not in the sanctuary. Things like winds of doctrine that move men to and fro. Such doctrines are mentioned in Ephesians 4:14 and referred to as winds of doctrine that move men to and fro and carry them about. Jesus is a place of safety, a sanctuary from the destruction of these moral and spiritual forces. If you're in him, his strength will protect you so that you will not be deceived, cast down, or moved into the room of delusion. As a sanctuary, Jesus is not only a place of protection, but a place where nourishment and encouragement are also realized. Here's how the prophet said it in our text, "as rivers of water in a dry place." What a blessed promise indeed. Jesus spoke of this kind of refreshment to the woman at the well of Jacob, a Samaritan woman whose life had been marred beyond description. He said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto life everlasting." John 4:14. What did Jesus mean? He meant that if a person would receive what he came to give, there would never be a circumstance where the source of strength and encouragement would fail. The water he had to give was actually the Holy Spirit, which comes in the container of the sword or word of God. Jesus would put a well inside the person so that he would be refreshed from within himself, just like Solomon said, "A good man shall be satisfied from himself," Proverbs 14:14. Jesus said the same thing in another way on one occasion when he was in Jerusalem during the time of a feast. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 7:37-38. John then explains what Jesus meant. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Verse 39. This, the sanctuary, is like rivers of water in a dry place, just like Isaiah said. That is, the believer is actually refreshed in a desert place where no water is. There, in what appears to be nothing more than a barren place, refreshment is brought to the soul from the Lord so that they are strengthened and encouraged, lifted up and made confident, given assurance and strong hope. Oh, God's people do not need to live in despair, crawling about as helpless victims, hanging their harps on the willow trees like the discouraged Israelites in Babylon, and moaning because things are not working out as they expected, even as Israel when they murmured in the wilderness. Oh, no, there's a sanctuary to which they may repair, a place where the cool waters of refreshment can be taken into the soul and hope can flourish while they sing the song of redemption. Jesus is a sanctuary, but he's one in which there are supplies, needed supplies. He's not like a barren storm cellar, but rather like a rich storehouse in which there's not only safety but abundant provision for the soul. Let no soul who trusts in Jesus wrestle with despair. Let them peruse the place where God has placed them and imbibe the rich things of God. But Isaiah affirms yet another characteristic of our sanctuary, the man who has been established for a hiding place. He says the Lord is as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Another version reads, like a shade of a huge rock in a parched land. Notice how marvelously descriptive the word is. Jesus is surely a rock, but here he's referred to as a shadow of a great rock. He's not only like the rock itself, but also like the shade that the rock produces. It's who Jesus is that brings relief to us, not only what he does. In the case of a great rock, the rock really does not do anything to produce relieving shade. Rather, the substance of the rock either reflects or absorbs the stifling heat of the sun. The rock is located in a weary land. Right there in the middle of the desert, we find this gigantic rock that's large enough to cast a large and refreshing shadow. See, it's who Jesus is that protects us. For all who are in him availing themselves of the sanctuary, whatever is hurled at them by the devil must first confront the Christ, and none of it has any effect upon him. However, if you're at a distance from the great rock, do not expect to enjoy the refreshment that comes from being in its shade. Listen, there's one thing to talk about the safety, protection, and refreshment that's found in Jesus alone. Of course, it's something to talk about, but the truth of it is to be appropriated by the hearers. So how is it with you? How close are you to Jesus? How close enough are you that the wind is not frightening or hurting you? Do the tempests have power over you? Are you realizing refreshment in this dry and thirsty land? Is the heat of trial and tribulation diminished because of the presence of Jesus? Oh, I bid you to find the sanctuary of Jesus and abide there with intention and resolve. Now, there's something to think about.